This morning we talked about this, I guess we want to say magnificent character, but in another way he was an insignificant character, Elijah. Insignificant as far as the world was concerned, but very significant as far as God and heaven are concerned. We found ourselves in Genesis chapter 17. Did I say Genesis? I want to see if you'd catch me on that. It's 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, and we examine the first seven verses. And in the hour and a half we have tonight, we want to... from that, I think I don't have an hour and a half. Okay, make it a few minutes then. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll begin our reading at verse 7, and we'll just read through verse 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the earth." Then she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this account, which in your wisdom and grace, holy men of God did write under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And the all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so we pray today that the blessed Spirit of God, the author of the Word, as far as the author from heaven is concerned, we pray that he, in keeping with the promise of the Lord Jesus, shall teach us the things of our Lord Jesus himself. In his name we pray it. Amen. It was only after the drying up of the brook that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Scenarios like that sort of bug me, don't they, you? I would rather know in advance and make my plans and know what's going to happen, when, where. But that's not the way, as I've heard him say in the South, things is down here, is it? And that's not the way God works with us. He needs to keep us down, we mentioned this morning. He needs to keep us dependent, because we are dependent. He needs to keep us realizing that dependence on him. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The same thing happened to Elijah's water that was happening to everybody else's water in the land. during the drought. It dried up too. And I'm sure it could be, why me? I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. I'm doing what I was told to do by Almighty God. But the brook dried up. But then, something more important than just the things necessary for the preservation of human life, water and food, something even more important than that was given to Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to him. And that's for time and eternity. The water and all other things perish. We leave them. They leave us. The word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Hey, that's what answers to the real thirst of the human heart. Jesus stood one day in Jerusalem by the fountain of water as a herald, and he shouted loud, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his or her innermost being shall flow rivers of living water," the water of life. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath." The place of even the name of the place means smelting or melting, and perhaps there's significance even in that too, like Cherith, the place of the cutting down or the hewing down. And surely, maybe it was a year, we don't know how long it was, there by the brook in that ravine where he waited on God as the ravens fed him day by day. And now, you're going to be melted down some more, Elijah, that you may realize who the God you serve is more fully. Then the word of the Lord came, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there." It's one thing to go to unfavorable places. It's another thing to stay there, isn't it? To stay there. Well, in Marine Corps, they used to tell us, we never, never retreat. We do have orderly withdrawals at times. And one guy said, "Yeah, that means get the out of there, you know." Well, stay there. That's where the hard part comes in, isn't it? Is sticking with it. Staying with it. Not easy out on the road, is it? Not all that easy. It's not just fun and games. If you haven't been there, you may not know what these wonderful young people are dealing with, but they're not complaining. They're rejoicing about the service for the Lord. But it's not peaches and cream by any means. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of perseverance. Stay there. "I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." Now my reaction would be, "Oh goody, there's a rich widow out there. She's got cable TV and all of that kind of thing. Plenty of money. And the reception TV wasn't good anyway down in that ravine. Now it's going to be great." But I don't know what Elijah thought. But if he thought like that, he was off the mark. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Well, that doesn't speak of any standing. Servants should have been doing that. Not a wealthy widow woman. We called her nonetheless, and he asked, Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I might have a drink? As she was going to get it, maybe she wished she had never started in this thing. So some people seem to be never satisfied, though wanting something else. As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." That stopped her. Turned and said, "As surely as the Lord your God lives." But she knew something, didn't she? God said, "I have commanded a widow to feed you." Now the widow knew something was going to happen. And it seems that in her heart, in her soul, she must have known, that's that guy. God's been saying something to me about somebody's coming, and you got to feed him, and so on. "As surely as the Lord your God lives." Well, she was on the right track then. But that Lord, Elijah's God, wanted to be her God in His fullness, in His glory, and in His supply. When God blesses one of us, it overflows, doesn't it, to others, and others are blessed too. I've talked to a lot of men and a lot of young men who sometimes say to me things like, "Nobody else's business what I'm doing. I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm minding my own thing. And it's none of your business, nobody else's business how I live my life." And I have to say, you couldn't be more mistaken, because you affect multitudes, multitudes of lives by your conduct, by your words, by your deeds, by your decisions in life. "Bring me some water and bring me a piece of bread. I don't have any bread." But he did draw out a confession of need, didn't he? "I don't have." Unlike so many who don't need nothing, you can say, "Don't need that. Thank you. I'm doing just fine." And they're miserable, whether they know it or not, in their sins and lost condition. "I don't have any bread." That's exactly the place she needed to be in this scenario, to see how God could supply. And further, who this God of Elijah really was. Only a handful of flour in a jar, a little oil in the jug, that's it. All there is. "I'm just gathering these few sticks, make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it, and then we'll die." She was asked by Elijah to give all she had. Unlike the guy you've heard about probably, who said, in answer to the pastor, "Are you giving to the Lord of your increase as the Lord asked you to do?" And he said, "Well, I used to do that. When I was making a couple $100 a week, well, I'd give 10%. What about now?" "Well, preacher, you know I can't do that. I make $1,000 a week. Now, I can't afford to give 10% of $1,000 a week to the Lord." So sad, isn't it? Can't afford to give. Even out of abundance, people say. Elijah asked her to give what she had. And he told her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make me a small cake of bread for me from what you have. You know, God can only replenish what we give, as we give what we are and what we have, as you people are doing tonight. Giving of yourselves, your talents, your ministry to us, to others, God's going to replenish your lives with His strength and His grace, that there may be more to give. That's the principle of heaven. And she was about to find it out. From what you have, Elijah said, which is an itty bitty bit, that's all right, that's enough. That's all God's asking. Oh, that I could preach like Adrian Rogers and some others. But God's not asking me to do that. He's just saying, you give me all you've got. I'll take it and make something out of it. Elijah's saying, give God what you have. He'll take care of the rest. He knows how to replenish what you've given. And much, much more. Remember those words of the Lord Jesus quoted a while ago from John chapter 7, verse 38, 39. Out of your innermost being shall flow, won't be a little bit, shall flow rivers of living water when He's in charge. And you know, and increasingly the fullness of His grace. Bring it to me and make something for yourself and your son. Won't be enough. Just do it. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the earth. A physical impossibility. But all things are possible with God. So she went and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord by Elijah. Well, here's a woman who met God in the kitchen, in the humdrum of everyday life. You get caught up sometimes in just the humdrum of everyday life. Got to go to this job. It's surely not that exciting. Another day at the salt mines, and so on. Sometimes them's our sentiments, aren't they? But you know, God wants to meet us in the kitchens of our lives, wherever that might be. The hot kitchen stove in those days, hot anyway, it was dry. And fire was all they had. They didn't have, can you imagine that? They didn't have microwaves in those days. So they wouldn't heat up the house. But God met her there, as she gave all she had at the word of the Lord. Jesus knew of what He spoke when He said, give. He wasn't primarily talking about our finances, but it would include that. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. Insurance company totaled out my car. That's the car I'm still driving the other day. And guy said, well, look what, this much. I said, you know, I was in another hailstorm too, and I got in. Additional damage, paint was knocked off. Didn't even report that. Didn't even try to. But you're going to do the right thing. I'm just sure of that. Because, of course, the Lord is watching you. He said, well, let me go back in here and see what I could do. All right, we'll just go ahead and total it out completely. Some more $100,000. Was that manipulation? I don't know. I was trying to witness a little bit to him. The Lord is watching you. As to what you're going to do in your relationship to God and to one another. and watching in love, wanting to fill our lives to overflowing with Himself and His grace and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You again for so great a salvation as we have in so great a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, even tonight and this week, may we be completely open to Yourself, that You may fill us full to overflowing, that You may melt off and take away the dross, and give instead the fullness of Yourself to Your honor and to Your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother.